Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the story of Jesus. I'm so glad you joined us. Now, yesterday we learned about how Jesus called his disciples and how they called others. Today we are going to learn about the Sermon on the Mount. So, make sure to grab a fuzzy blanket and your favorite stuffed animal because it's time to follow Jesus. This is The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, Chapter 10, Teachings of Christ. Among the Jews, religion had come to be little more than a round of ceremonies. As they had departed from the true worship of God and lost the spiritual power of his word, they had tried to supply the lack by adding ceremonies and traditions of their own. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse from sin. Only his power can keep men from sinning. But the Jews depended upon their own works and ceremonies of their religion to earn for them salvation. Because of their zeal for these ceremonies, they thought themselves righteous and worthy of a place in God's kingdom. But their hopes were fixed on a worldly greatness. They longed for riches and power, and these they expected as the reward for their pretended piety. They looked for the Messiah to set up his kingdom on this earth and to rule as a mighty prince among men. Every worldly blessing they hoped to receive at his coming. Jesus knew that their hopes were to be disappointed. He had come to teach them of something far better than they had sought. He had come to restore the true worship of God. He was to bring in a pure heart religion that would manifest itself in a pure life and a holy character. In the beautiful Sermon on the Mount, he explained what God thinks most precious and what would give real happiness. The Savior's disciples had been influenced by the teachings of the rabbis, and for these disciples, first of all, Christ's lessons were spoken. That which he taught them is for us also. We need to learn the same things. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Christ said. The poor in spirit are those who know their own sinfulness and need. They know that of themselves they can do no good thing. They desire help from God, and to them his blessing is given. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Blessed are they that mourn. This does not mean those who complain and murmur, and who go about with a sour, downcast look. It means those who are truly sorry for their sins, and who ask God for pardon. All such he will freely forgive. He says, I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and will make them rejoice from their sorrow. Blessed are the meek. Christ says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. When he was wrongfully treated, he returned good for evil. In this, he has given us an example that we should do as he has done. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness is right doing. It is obedience to the law of God, for in that law the principles of righteousness are set forth. The Bible says, all thy commandments are righteousness. That law Christ, by his example, taught men to obey. The righteousness of the law is seen in his life. We hunger and thirst after righteousness when we want to have all our thoughts, our words, and our actions like Christ's. And we may be like Christ if we really desire to be. We may have our lives like his life, our actions in harmony with the law of God. The Holy Spirit will bring God's love into our hearts so that we shall delight to do his will. God is more willing to give us his spirit than parents are to give good things to their children. His promise is, ask, and it shall be given you. All that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. To be merciful is to treat others better than they deserve. So God has treated us. He delights to show mercy. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So he teaches us to treat one another. He says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Blessed are the pure in heart." God cares more for what we really are than for what we say we are. He does not care how beautiful we may look, but he wants our hearts pure. Then all our words and actions will be right. King David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This should be our prayer. Blessed are the peacemakers. He who has the meek and lowly spirit of Christ will be a peacemaker. Such a spirit provokes no quarrel, gives back no angry answer. It makes the home happy and brings a sweet peace that blesses all around. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Christ knew that for his sake many of his disciples would be put in prison and many would be killed. But he told them not to mourn because of this. Nothing can harm those who love and follow Christ. He will be with them in every place. They may be put to death, but he will give them a life that will never end and a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And from them, others will learn about the dear Savior. Christ said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." Jesus was soon going away from the world to his heavenly home, but the disciples were to teach the people of his love. They were to be as lights among men. The lamp in the lighthouse, shining out in the darkness, guides the ship safely to the harbor. Thus Christ's followers are to shine in this dark world to guide men to Christ and the heavenly home. This is what all the followers of Christ are to do. He calls them to work with him in saving others. Such lessons were strange and new to Christ's hearers, and he repeated them many times. At one time, a lawyer came to him with the question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You have answered right. This do, and you will live." The lawyer had not done this. He knew that he had not loved others as himself. Instead of repenting, he tried to find an excuse for his selfishness. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" The priests and rabbis often disputed about this question. They did not call the poor and ignorant their neighbors and would show them no kindness. Christ took no part in their disputes. He answered the question by a story about something that had happened a short time before. "A certain man," he said, "was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The road was steep and rocky and passed through a wild, lonely region. Here the man was seized by robbers and stripped of all that he had. He was beaten and bruised and left for dead. As he lay thus, a priest and then a Levite from the temple at Jerusalem came that way. But instead of helping the poor man, they passed by on the other side. These men had been chosen to minister in God's temple, and they ought to have been like him, full of mercy and kindness. But their hearts were cold and unfeeling. After a time, a Samaritan came near. The Samaritans were despised and hated by the Jews. To one of these people, a Jew would not give so much as a drink of water or a morsel of bread. But the Samaritan did not stop to think of this. He did not stop even to think of the robbers who might be watching for him. There lay the stranger, bleeding and ready to die. The Samaritan took off his own cloak and wrapped it about him. He gave him his own wine to drink and poured oil on his wounds. He put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him all night. The next morning, before going away, he paid the innkeeper to care for him till he should be strong again. So Jesus told the story. Then, turning to the lawyer, he asked, "Now, which one of these, think you, was a neighbor to him that fell among the thieves?" The lawyer answered him, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." So Jesus taught that every person who needs our help is our neighbor. We are to treat him just as we ourselves would like to be treated. The priest and the Levite pretended to keep God's commandments, but it was the Samaritan who really kept them. His heart was kind and loving. In taking care of the wounded stranger, he was showing love to God as well as to man. For it pleases God to have us do good to one another. We show our love for him by being kind to those about us. A kind, loving heart is worth more than all the riches in the world. Those who live to do good show that they are children of God. They are the ones who will dwell with Christ in his kingdom. To be continued. It's time now for our questions. Question number one. When Jesus says, "Blessed are they that mourn," does he mean those who are murmuring and complaining? Or does he mean those who are truly sorry for their sins? Question number two. Jesus said, "You are the blank of the world." What did he say? "You are the blank of the world." Question number three. Who, in our story, that Jesus gave a parable and to describe who is our neighbor. And in the parable, a man was beat up and hurt, and two men passed him, a Levite and a priest, but somebody came and rescued him. What? Who was that somebody who came and rescued him? Now, you can send us your answers at aplacetodosomething@gmail.com or tag us on Facebook and Instagram at aplacetodosomething. And don't forget to check out the activity today at aplacetodosomething.com/the story. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope that you have a great rest of your time, and make sure to check back tomorrow for the next chapter in the story of Jesus.
This audio program was brought to you by A Place to Do Something and narrated by Ruthie Reeves. You can find more programs like this at www.aplacetodosomething.com.